Hello there, everyone, and welcome to the Sure IDC podcast, the show about anything and everything. This is Lucas, and let's see what topic we can get into today. We talk about movies, songs, video games, board games, food, books, personality traits, animals, history, anything and everything you can think of. So sit back, relax, because we're just here to have a good time. It's that time of year again when you are visiting family for Christmas and you go into the kitchen because you smell the delicious food being cooked. You've got the smell of turkey, ham, green beans, mashed potatoes with the gravy, cranberry sauce, stuffing. You might even have some appetizers and have some of what I call beanie weenies, barbecue smokies, or summer sausage with cheese and crackers. Whatever your tradition food-wise is at Christmas time, today we're going to talk about that. And I bet you have guessed who is on the show today. You know he's on every Christmas episode, and that is Jed. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. I'm happy to be back for once again another Christmas episode. It is most definitely my favorite time of year, and food is one of my most favorite things in the entire world. That's why I have a little bit of a gut, so I'm more than happy to talk about this one.
I mean, I've got a little bit more than a little bit of a gut, that's for sure. So, I mean, I do like me some food.
Oh, me too. So I am happy to get into this topic.
You know, I'm trying to think here, so... So this is season number 4 for me. So that means we have done 4 Christmas episodes. We did Christmas movies to begin with. Is that right?
Yep. I think so.
And then we did Christmas movies the first year. Oh, no. We did Christmas music the first year.
Yeah, I think we did Christmas music first year, then Christmas then movies.
Christmas movies. And then what did we do last year?
So I want to say it was Christmas traditions.
Christmas traditions. This is going to be a great episode. I can't talk, so let's see. I'm looking through. We did Christmas decorations.
Oh.
So we've done Christmas music, Christmas movies, Christmas decorations, now Christmas food, and next year we'll do Christmas traditions. How about that?
Well, at least we got an idea already.
Yeah, we've got the idea already planned for next Christmas. So, but yeah, I mean, 4 episodes in, we're going strong. Christmas episodes are probably the most listened to episodes, so we got to make this a good one.
We'll try our best.
I'll either
make some people very happy, reminiscent, or, you know, maybe we might just gross some people out at the same time, too.
Oh, gosh. What are you planning on talking about?
You never know. Some people got some weird Christmas foods.
That is true. That is very true. I didn't look too much into depth of the foods, but I figured there were some weird ones out there, so... So, I guess, to start off this conversation, let's go with, like, the basic question. What are your classic Christmas food traditions, either growing up in your family or maybe now, if they're different? What do you got going on?
Yeah, you know, I always think of, kind of like what you rattled off, the traditional Christmas dinner meal that includes... I feel like in our house, it was both turkey and ham, typically. Mm-hmm. I like them both. I lean towards the ham, mm-hmm. Personally.
We'll talk about that here in a second. We'll talk about the big debate. So
I'll wait on that one.
Yeah, then. Wait to tell your feelings then.
But, you know, along with that, you know, like you said, the mashed potatoes and the gravy, the stuffing or dressing. I don't know if there's technically a difference between the two. Mm-hmm. But, you know, having that around as well, too. You know, cranberry sauce is in there. To me, that almost feels a bit more of what I might encounter come, like, Thanksgiving time. A little bit closer to that, potentially. Okay. But, you know, a lot of those are, I think, for a lot of people, would come across as, like, the traditional ones, like you said.
Yeah.
But I know my family kind of has some other ones that aren't necessarily too crazy out there. And I don't know if we're going to talk about like desserts separately as well too, but that's one of where I get a lot of those Christmas foods. To me, really comes kind of from that dessert category rather than the main spread, the main Christmas dinner at that point. But one that for me, I've always placed it in the dessert category, but the rest of my family slap it right on the plate, right next to everything else. And that was something, a dish that comes from my mom's side of the family, and it's called Orange Fluff. That's just what we call it. I don't know if anybody else has this. I'm sure somebody else has to have this recipe, but basically it's like mandarin oranges, orange jello, and like Cool Whip kind of mixed together and blended into this. And so it's very much a sweet, you know, side dish or something like that, which to me is why I'm like, I like it, but I always save it to the end to be kind of this dessert aspect. Everyone else in my family will put it like right next to like the stuffing and the mashed potatoes, and they're eating it mixed in with everything else. And I'm like, to each their own, you know, it's still good. But to me, I'm like, I want that savory first, and then I want to finish up with the sweet. But that's something that for my family, surprisingly, alongside the main dish or that main spread, typically we usually have along in there as well, too.
I think it's almost like the marshmallows on the sweet potatoes type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's that kind of a thing?
Yeah, I guess I could see that. I've never been a sweet potato guy personally, so that's something that if we have it, I'm always skipping over that one because I don't like it in the first place.
Yeah.
But now that you say that, I guess it's not too crazy when traditionally, like a holiday, you know, sweet potato casserole or sweet potato is usually that sweetened version that's going with like brown sugar and marshmallows and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when it comes to the dressing or the stuffing, I guess it's maybe like regional or what they're called, or is there like a legit difference between dressing and stuffing?
I don't know that this is actually the case. I probably have to look it up, but when somebody mentioned it today, like I feel like I talked with somebody recently that was like, oh, I don't like stuffing, but I love dressing. And I'm like,
what?
Well, they're the same. And to me, I'm like, they're the exact same thing. The only thing I could think of is maybe is that stuffing is technically coming, you know, you stuffing the turkey with this. And so stuffing is technically what has been inside of the turkey. Hmm. And maybe dressing is like, oh, it's pretty much the exact same thing, but you didn't cook it inside the turkey. You cooked it separately.
All right. This is going to be one of those sections where we look it up, because now I'm interested.
And I could be totally off base. That's my only guess of why somebody could think that it would be why they would be different.
Difference between dressing and stuffing. The primary difference between stuffing and dressing is that stuffing is cooked inside a bird and dressing is made on the side.
So I was right then.
You nailed it. So I guess maybe people just don't like the taste of stuffing because it was cooked with the bird while dressing was just cooked on its own.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. I don't know. I still consider it the same thing. I don't like it. I don't like stuffing or dressing. So I don't know why. I've never liked it, but.
Yeah, and here's even one, though, too, that it does sound like it is a regionalism. You know, just seeing an article from HuffPost, who I know is the bastion of all things correct. But they kind of label it, and this makes sense to me, in the same way that, you know, it's, you know, pop in the north and it's Coke down in the south, is that dressing is typically a term that Southerners use, and stuffing is traditionally a term that people from the north use. Kind of all interchangeably, but it does make sense after taking time to think of it that stuffing, the actual terms that make sense, stuffing is when you stuff it inside the bird. Yeah. Dressing is when you cook it outside and you are dressing up the rest of the meal with it.
Yeah.
Personally, I know you said you didn't like it. That is like my personal favorite aspect of, you know, that Thanksgiving/Christmas dinner.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I will say there can be bad dressing. Like there can be. I had one not too, you know, around Thanksgiving time. it was at my place of work, so they are allowed to be worse. But it had way too much rosemary in it. Still wasn't bad, but it was a little over-seasoned specifically with the rosemary.
Very strong in rosemary.
Yes, very strong.
Well, excuse me, that all sounds like a good traditional, you know, common Christmas food, you know, menu. I would say, like, our Christmas, I mean, I guess, really, in reality, like, I think more lately, my family has done, you know, a Thanksgiving, maybe like a small turkey or something. But in the past, growing up, we pretty much didn't do, like, big meals. Of course, Christmas, I think we usually did do a lot of that, so I guess we just kind of did everything in the Christmas one, and Thanksgiving was kind of smaller. But for Christmas, you know, we would go all out with the mashed potatoes and the green bean. We usually did green beans, not green bean casserole, but green beans, gravy, stuffing that I didn't eat. and then I think we usually did a ham. We might have done a turkey too, but I think it was mainly ham that we did. But, and then we had, you know, the Beanie Weenies, like I mentioned in the, we had that for Thanksgiving and Christmas. That's just like a staple. But, I mean, we really didn't go all out. We just kind of did like simple things. And so it was pretty good. I mean, like I said, simple. Usually Christmas is the only time where the majority of my close family come together, so maybe that's why we hold it all for the Christmas meal rather than doing Thanksgiving and Christmas. So Thanksgiving is more of like a, oh, you want steak tonight? Like, yeah, sure. So Christmas food's just so good. I don't know, and there is that, like, that difference between Christmas and Thanksgiving food, even though some of the food is similar. It just has like a different feel to it. I don't know I don't know if that means anything, but.
No, I can definitely kind of get what you're saying. Cause even though we really do across like both meals, there is a pretty good bit of crossover between the two. I do think that it, like you said, it just has a different feel. Like Thanksgiving, you're coming together, and it really is the idea of, I mean, both times is gathering for family, but just the two holidays have just different atmospheres in a good way, but
yeah. So, you already kind of hinted at it a little bit, but the big debate, at least I feel like there's a big debate, turkey or ham, you know, is turkey a Thanksgiving food only, you know, is it made to be, you know, in Christmas as well, or is it just the ham at Christmas, turkey at Thanksgiving?
So, to me, it's for both. I think the turkey goes for all occasions, and I think really this is something that, you know, probably mostly more American people kind of think of or have this debate. You know, generally, people from other countries aren't typically celebrating Thanksgiving, and so for them, it's not that big of a deal, or, you know, they wouldn't be like, oh, yeah, I don't have this big celebration that happens 1 month before Christmas as well. But I mean, for Thanksgiving, the turkey is the quintessential, you know, protein meat that happens.
Yeah.
And we have ham a lot of times during then too. But I think if you probably went to other countries, other like Western countries, turkey would probably be a staple of a Christmas dinner as well too. Or at least some type of larger poultry, we'll say, because I even think back to like Christmas Carol and that one, you know, what they're cooking for dinner as a goose instead. So, or even traditionally, you know, one of the most infamous of holiday foods is turducken, turkey duck chicken. I do think poultry in general is a big focus or is a main option for the Christmas dinner as well too. But because there's such a focus on the turkey specifically for Thanksgiving, I think that's where people kind of throw in like the ham debate as well too. Between the two meats, I like them. If a turkey is cooked right, it is delicious. It's moist. It's perfect, especially with some gravy. Between the two, though, I typically lean towards a ham. If I have an option, I will happily take the ham, or at least do more ham than I will turkey in that moment.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. If there's, I mean, if I'm at like a church function or something like that, and there's turkey and ham, I usually take, you know, a slab of ham and maybe a little turkey, but not a lot of turkey. And I guess I do kind of correlate ham with Christmas and turkey with Thanksgiving, even though we probably have had turkey, you know, at Christmas. But I just correlate ham with Christmas and turkey with Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just, maybe, yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's just the Americanization of Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Yeah, no, and I think it definitely really could be. And even just the way, because even if you think like the commercialization of things, you know, Thanksgiving already has the turkey. And so it was kind of like, you know, what's the way to commercialize ham? What's the way to sell more hams? Oh, again, this may be entirely untrue and off base, but let's focus on hams as the Christmas meat. You know, Thanksgiving's got the turkey meat, or yeah, Thanksgiving got turkey as the meat. Easter, nobody cares about that one specifically. So you're getting something good on that day usually, but
the rabbit, we're having rabbit on Easter.
You know, that would make sense until you have the kids start crying, I feel like.
Yeah. They're like, what kind of meat is this? It's chicken.
You killed the Easter bunny.
No, I mean, Easter is like all about like deviled eggs and stuff like that. Do you have deviled eggs for Christmas? I do love deviled eggs.
So my grandmother-in-law, that's something that we a lot of times for Christmas Eve, we go over to my wife's grandmother's. And I'm almost always guaranteed to have deviled eggs, a cheese ball, and then usually, like you said, like summer sausage or, you know, venison sticks and crackers and cheese as well, too. You know, any of like all of those just snack on through the entire time. And so that's something that I personally love.
Yeah.
Great tradition I married into with that one. So
you've mentioned a lot of appetizers. And I've mentioned some appetizers in the intro as well. I mean, there are definitely, it's definitely a necessity to have some types of food that you can snack on before the actual meal itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, like we said, deviled eggs, cheese ball, you know, the barbecue smokies you can snack on. The summer sausage with cheese and crackers is a big one for my family. We do that every year. I mean, is that, like, not good? Is that not good to do because you ruin the appetite of the main meal?
In my opinion, not necessarily. So, and even for us, I think it was more if it was just, you know, me and my family growing up, I don't know that we did the appetizers that much. But I think when you're doing a bigger function, like where you're getting together with your cousins and your aunts and your uncles and your grandparents and things like that, where it is a bigger get together, I think that's when you do it. And I think especially because a lot of the food that you are making for, you know, a Christmas dinner, like both a ham and turkey, they can take hours, you know, to be properly cooked and baked. And so especially if you're getting together meeting early and maybe it's still another 3 hours before you eat, I think it's definitely a requirement to have some snacks to go along with there, because otherwise you're going to have people get hungry at that point. I don't know that they're going to get irritable, although, you know, maybe Uncle Toby does or something like that. But
maybe. But I also feel like eating, like you, on a normal day, you have your standard, you know, eating times. So you've got 7 o'clock breakfast, noon lunch, and then maybe 6, 7 o'clock dinner.
Yep.
On Christmas and Thanksgiving, there are no such times. You're like, you're not eating until we get the main dinner, and it's going to be at 3 o'clock, and that's all you're going to eat all day. Because no one wants to cook three meals in that day because they're all focused on one.
Oh, definitely. So, no, and I agree. I think, you know, if you're waking up, depending on what time you're waking up, you may be making something for breakfast or something easy, whether that's just something that's lying around the house or a couple eggs or things like that. But yeah, I mean, for us all the time, it's like it's usually 2 or 3 o'clock is when you are eating, you know, the big meal. And that's a big part of it. It is big. You get this whole huge spread that a lot of times you're eating your fill. And this is definitely not food that's healthy. That's why, you know, they talk about stretching the pants, wear your stretchy pants to Thanksgiving dinner or things like that. But even then, there's almost guaranteed to be leftovers. And so even once it gets to, you know, a few hours later, if everyone's still there and hanging out, it's like, all right, pull it back out. Let's go for, you know, round two. And but that's more of like just pecking at it and being like, oh, I could go for a little bit more ham here and a little bit of that green bean casserole and you know, some things like that. But I do think, because like you said, a lot of times it seems like traditionally those meals don't happen until middle of the afternoon rather than like your regular lunchtime. It's another good reason to be like, hey, here's why we're going to put out the appetizer, the hors d'oeuvres, the snacks, or things like that, so that you can kind of tide yourself over as you're waiting that additional 2 or 3 hours that you typically would have already eaten by now instead.
Yeah. So appetizers are an essential. So if you're listening and you don't have appetizers planned, definitely get on that, especially since I think today is Christmas. What day is today? I don't even know what day is today. Let's see, this day is coming, 1, 2, 3, oh no, next week is Christmas, so you have time to plan and get some appetizers on the menu. Are there any other appetizers that you know of that we already haven't mentioned?
So I'm trying to think if my family had any kind of weird appetizers or more unique or something like that we didn't mention. So one that's maybe for us, and granted my mom would make this whenever she had a good reason to do it, but we typically always had this around the holidays too and around like Christmas, but my mom would make Chex Mix. And so so hers was you know, your regular, your three blends of the Chex, so both the, or all three of the corn, rice, and wheat Chex. And then typically Cheerios and peanuts. Those were like the five main ingredients.
Okay.
So it doesn't do quite as much. You know, some people do pretzels in there as well too. Some people, you know, actually go all and find like the rye chips or things like that. Ours was just those ones.
Yeah.
And then she does this. Typically, it was like a mixture of like bacon grease and seasoning and Worcestershire sauce and, you know, probably something else in there. But, you know, getting that all in, and that's what you're kind of like seasoning all of the Chex Mix with. And then basically it's just kind of baking it at a low temperature to let that coating kind of get in. And she'd have to go in and, you know, mix it up every, you know, 20 minutes or something like that. But that was something that, again, it's just easy, you know, she would make a huge batch. And so you just go and get, you know, your plastic cup or, you know, a mug or just something, fill it up. And that was something for us to kind of snack on as well, too, that was different enough and even should be a little bit lighter. Granted, you couldn't just stop with just a little bit. You were always eating a ton of it. But that was something I put in that kind of appetizer range that we definitely had a lot of.
That sounds really good.
Mm-hmm.
I even just ate dinner, and I'm starting to get hungry. I'm like, oh, man, that sounds really good. yeah, I mean, stuff that is snackable, shareable, I think definitely those are some good options for some appetizers. And of course, I mean, I think other people maybe do like vegetable trays or fruit trays. I mean, those are all good as well. Maybe not normal, but those might not be normal, you know, Christmas traditional foods, but I mean, still, those are still some good go-tos. I mean, I don't mind a vegetable tray.
Oh no, that's always something that at least makes you feel a little bit better about yourself when you're like, yeah, I ate a carrot.
Yeah, with ranch. Yeah, true. So
I personally would not eat the carrot. I do not like carrots.
Celery?
I like celery. Pretty much everything else on there I can do. I can do celery. I can do, you know, peppers. It's just, I just don't like carrots. They just taste bad. Like, side note, carrots, you know, pot roast is one of my favorite meals. Yeah. And sometimes that, for some people, that can also be a Christmas meal. But, you know, traditionally your pot roast is being cooked with, you know, carrots and like potatoes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Carrots cooked in a pot roast are my least favorite food of all time.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with that. I mean, they just make them all mushy and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll eat it, but it's just like, this is so good. I mean, like, the pot roast is good itself, but, like, the carrots, it's kind of like,
yeah,
I get
no,
that.
No, it's, when I do that, I will say it doesn't make me vomit, so maybe it's not the worst food. But I'm like, it's one that I'm like, no, get these. If they end up on, they will be on the side of the plate. I will not put them anywhere near my mouth.
Wow, that's hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
So appetizers check. So we've already kind of talked about this a lot, mentioned it, you know, several times already. Pretty much talking about our traditional Christmases growing up and now. But let's literally go down the list of every, you know, go-to Christmas, you know, meal. So you've got the turkey, got the ham. You've got the cranberry sauce, right?
Yep.
You got the stuffing or the dressing. Usually I think stuffing is more Thanksgiving. I don't know. Maybe correct me if I'm wrong. Stuffing is more Thanksgiving. Dressing might be more Christmassy. let's see. What other things do we mention? Mashed potatoes, gravy. Are you like mashed potatoes, or do you think that you could, you know, throw in a baked potato there and call it a day?
Oh, I mean, between – if they didn't have mashed potatoes and said you can do a baked potato, I'm like, I'll do a baked potato, but give me the mashed potatoes 10 days out of 10 over the baked potato.
Well, I think that people – I mean, do you think that people usually serve sweet potatoes at Christmas instead of mashed potatoes? Because that is kind of a thing, right?
Not anybody that I know.
Me neither.
Yeah, it doesn't mean I'm wrong. But yeah.
But I think you –
to me, it's –
I think that sweet potatoes, you kind of think is more traditional, you know, with the mash, the marshmallow toppings and stuff like that.
Yeah. And even then, I would say, I don't know if I'd call it, you know, a baked sweet potato as often as maybe like a sweet potato casserole that I would see between the two.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. So what others? Got the green bean casserole. I actually, you know, funny story, and it's not a story, it's just a fact, but I used to, like, growing up and maybe even early adulthood, I thought I hated the green bean casserole. It's like, that looks nasty. I never want to try it or eat it. It just looks gross. And then, I don't know, at some point in time, I actually tried it. And I was just shocked and amazed at how good it was. I was like, this is the best thing that I've ever had.
I think for me, like, I never hated it. I would say, like, I don't think I appreciated green bean casserole when I was young. It is another one, though, that is up there. That, like, when it gets close to Thanksgiving, Christmas time, I get pumped at the thought of, like, oh, yeah, we're going to have green bean casserole soon. And maybe part of that's because my wife doesn't like it, so therefore we don't usually have it often. It needs to be at one of these, you know, bigger family functions that it might come out or something like that. But I love green bean casserole too.
It's so good. What makes it so good?
I'd say, you know, and again, this is something that kind of can throw people off, or maybe the reason that people wouldn't want in the first place. I think it's probably like the cream of mushroom soup.
That's what I was thinking.
That and the French onion on top.
Oh, man. It's so good. I want some right now. I hope that someone makes it for Christmas. Really do, because my parents don't usually make green bean casserole. They just make green beans with some, like, very teriyaki sauce or something on it. So I'm hoping that Ariel's family makes some green bean casserole this year. So that'd be delicious. What other go-to? Am I missing any? We got the, all that. Mashed potatoes. Rolls. Are you more of a biscuit or a roll person?
Yeah, I think for a holiday meal, to me, I will take both happily, but rolls seems like it's the traditional one.
Because there are people who do biscuits.
Yeah.
And I'm I would
happily take a biscuit.
I'm not a big bread person, and so if you force me to, not force me, but if you give me an option, I will choose the roll since it's lighter and maybe not as dense as a biscuit. Because I'm not a big bread person. I don't like to eat a lot of bread, just bread. You know, I like a sandwich. Yeah. But if you're like, hey, eat this roll, I'm all like, that's just bread.
So. I mean, I do like bread. But come holiday time, I like the roll. But I even like the roll more because it is a vehicle for butter.
Yes. Well, not only butter, but dip it in the gravy. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And like maybe even put like some turkey on it and eat it, or some ham, or you know, clean up your plate with it at the end. So good.
Or another thing for me too, this has become kind of a slight tradition since I've lived in Indiana, is I live close enough to Amish country where you can get some pretty darn good things. And so what I'll oftentimes get from my parents kind of as a Christmas gift is there's a really good kind of like Amish restaurant / store that's within like a half hour where I live. And they have just like every type of jam or jelly imaginable and then apple butter.
Yes.
And so I'd love to just go get some of that. And, you know, I try to get like the unique ones. You know, you can get, I mean, they're still good here, but you can get a strawberry, you know, jam or a grape jelly or things like that. You can get that in any store. I'm like, I want to get like the cherry jam or something like that with some apple butter and get some like peach or apricot jam too. Mm. You know, bring that home for them to do. And that, like you said, just, you know, having the bread options to kind of throw some of that on as well too is, oh, so I do. I love, you know, even if it's a biscuit, I will happily take a biscuit roll. That's what I imagine as always kind of being there alongside with the food, but just give me some sort of bread option with that as well too. You know, I can do it with just butter, but especially if we have some of those other, you know, toppings and preservatives there, I will happily go with that as well.
Yeah, rolls are the solid option there, mm-hmm. for sure. Is there any other go-to Christmas foods? Am I forgetting? We probably already mentioned it, and I'm just forgetting it now.
So, a couple others I can, you know, kind of think of. And some of these are maybe more akin to my family, per se.
Okay.
What's the one? Have you ever had hash brown casserole?
No, but that sounds delicious.
So it is. It's another one. Honestly, I just thought of it. I was like, oh, gosh, I kind of hope we have some of that coming up soon, too. But it is. It's another potato-based dish. But it's kind of like, you know, hash brown or, you know, hashed potatoes. Mm-hmm. And typically it's kind of cooked together with cheese and some other kind of like binding sauce. So I don't know that it's cream of mushroom, but something kind of along those same lines. So it has this nice cheesy kind of savory taste to it too. So that's another good one.
That sounds good.
And then corn casserole is another one that, my dad's side of the family has done a lot more as well too. And so that's almost like a mixture of cream corn with cornbread. And then, you know, some people also do it with cheese kind of as a topping, like mozzarella cheese. And that was something that I grew up with kind of more on my dad's side of the family as well too. And so that's another one that I love kind of being added in there too. And I don't know if those are a little bit more unique to my family. I mean, I'm sure other people definitely eat them, but I don't know if that's something that people view as, you know, a Christmas side dish as well, too. Yeah.
I mean, just thinking about it right now, corn and cornbread, I feel, I don't know. I mean, I guess I have potentially had corn for Christmas, but I feel like corn and cornbread are more of a Thanksgiving thing, maybe.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. You know, you think of like, the cornucopia, which you can kind of picture with Thanksgiving and something like that. And yeah, I feel like you can kind of see corn in there. Not necessarily on the cob, but more of like the actual, you know, canned corn.
Yeah, but that
that's
does
been heated
sound
up and
good.
stuff as well too.
That sounds real good. What was it? Corn casserole? Is that what it was called?
Yeah, we've always just called it like corn casserole. Maybe others call it like cream corn casserole or something like that.
Cream corn
That
casserole.
just feels like that's a few too many C's in a row.
I like the triple C, please. other, so that's like more of the traditional. I guess I looked up online what other traditional foods there were, and I was kind of interested to see it. I picked out three here. You've got beef tenderloin, which is really big. A rack of lamb. And then
nice.
Creamed spinach.
Now that to me, I haven't had that one. That one does not sound very appealing, but that's almost one I could see, and I could be totally off base, but seeing more as like a more southern thing.
Yeah.
Like that, or you think you like collard greens. Again, another thing, I don't know if I've ever technically had collard greens before in my life, but I could almost envision both of those being more of a southern dish that can be kind of traditional to Christmas time.
Yeah, I can agree with that. What do you think of the beef and the lamb?
I mean, both of them would sound good. I haven't had them, so to me, it is one that's a bit weird to think of as like a Christmas tradition. Another one that I more or less kind of married into food-wise is my wife's dad's side of the family do a lot more like pork-based food when it comes to like the holidays. So especially around Christmas time, we're usually going over there. And that one, like, cause, and part of it I think is because my father-in-law actually works for a pig farm. And so he is able to get his hands on a lot of pig product. But
yeah.
I mean, typically, you know, they might have the usuals, like certainly ham. But they're able to get like ribs at that point as well too. Or they do like pulled pork or, you know, a few of those different things, briskets as well. And I absolutely love those. So I could definitely see like beef tenderloin. Again, just doing something that's, you know, trying to make a Christmas dinner different from a Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah, beef tenderloin is typically going to accomplish that goal. And then I would say the same with lamb. And I feel like I have heard lamb. Both of those, not that hams and turkeys are cheap, but both like beef tenderloin and lamb, I can view that as kind of like the well-off
like a
Christmas
tradition. A ritzy option.
Yeah.
That is
like,
true.
I don't know that I'm affording a rack of lamb anytime soon.
But I'm going to have a rack of lamb for Christmas this year. That's my Christmas present to everyone. Yeah. Are there any, I mean, can you think of any like odd foods that are out there that are categorized as like a main entree dish?
So, and this may not be a Christmas food, but I'm going to venture out because, again, on my dad's side of the family, they are of Norwegian descent. So I could see, you know, maybe with more of some of these other, you know, nationalities or heritages where they have a different food, my mind immediately goes to one food we always kind of have around Christmas time. It may not necessarily be the Christmas dinner, but it's always around Christmas time was something called oyster stew.
Ooh, that sounds good.
It's honestly a pretty basic thing. So it's mostly like a roux or kind of a milk broth based, and then just kind of adding in oysters to it. So it's a very basic, like, to me, it really doesn't look like a stew necessarily, but so it's one that I don't hate. But I've never been huge on it necessarily. But so that I do think that's something that has come from more of the Norwegian heritage. But to go to a food that I personally have no desire to try, but I know it's been a popular food in Scandinavian culture, is lutefisk. And I could see maybe that being something that maybe is more of a traditional holiday food. I don't know that that's the case, but just knowing that something like that is common in like Norwegian or Scandinavian culture, I could see that being even potentially a traditional Christmas food there.
And what is that exactly?
My understanding of what lutefisk is it is fish that rots, and then they soak the fish in lye to sanitize it, and then they jar it.
That sounds nasty. So
yes,
it's rotting
and that's
fish.
Why I have...
What?
Yeah, let me
My
see.
Mind is blown right now.
let me see if I can find a short description, just to make sure that my description is accurate.
Rotting fish that has been sanitized.
Yeah, so what is lutefisk? Literally means lye fish. Lutefisk is a dry stock fish, normally cod or ling, but you could also use haddock or pollock, that has been brined in lye, soaked to remove the resulting caustic solution, and then steamed until it flakes. The end result looks and feels gelatinous. Traditionally, it's served with a warm cream or butter sauce and enjoyed with copious amounts of beer or aquavit.
That sounds so good.
I think it maybe was one of those things that was kind of, you know, maybe originally made on accident. They were just like, oh, no, now the fish isn't good anymore.
Oh, no, we should
maybe if we try to clean it. Yeah, maybe if we try to clean it with lye, it might still be good. And then they did that, and they're like, oh, but now we got to get the lye out of it, because lye is poisonous. And then they did that, and they're like, hey, this isn't half bad.
Oh, my gosh. That's ridiculous. Wow, that is a thing. There's some pretty weird stuff out there that people eat. And that is definitely up there. At least back in the past. Maybe not be as popular nowadays, but I guess back then it was a go-to.
It's still definitely around, and it might be something that is more one of those, more popular or more enjoyed, like in the actual country that it comes from.
Yeah,
because you know, the countries definitely have these different traditions or taste buds, you could even say. I don't think this is a Christmas food, but just along those same lines, is that like Australia and New Zealand have these two substances called like Vegemite and Marmite, which I think are both like versions of pure yeast extract.
Mm-hmm.
I nearly vomited just smelling that stuff, and they eat that like peanut butter over there.
Yeah, I've definitely heard of that, and that's very, isn't it gelatinous? Something like that?
Not really gelatinous. It's dark, like dark brown, almost black. Ugh. Dark brown. It's more similar to a paste, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like if you think of like the texture and consistency of like tomato paste, that is, from what I remember, that is what it kind of seemed that Vegemite and Marmite were more like consistency wise.
That sounds nasty. Let's talk about something delicious like desserts.
I agree. Let's switch it up.
So, you got any go-to desserts other than the orange fluff?
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, this is where I really see the difference, or this is what I think of when it comes to like Christmas food is Christmas desserts or desserts that we mainly do around.
Yeah.
I always think of the traditional ones being, you know, Christmas cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Cutting them out into the different shapes, the sugar cookies and things like that, and then going and frosting them and making them. And so that was certainly something we did. But for me, what I feel like maybe the three that stand out to me as what I remember or what I think of when it comes to Christmas time. One is that my mom would always make chocolate dipped pretzels. And so she would mainly buy like pretzel rods and dip them like halfway into the chocolate. And she'd do some with milk chocolate, and she'd do some with white chocolate. And then just put some sprinkles on them. So we always had those around the house. I am personally an eggnog person. And so eggnog, another one that comes out as well, too. I know there are some mixed feelings on that one.
Well, say,
I like eggnog.
I had that as a conversation topic. I wasn't sure what your opinion of was it.
That's even one that I kind of changed my mind on a bit. I think the first time I would have ever had eggnog, I would have thought it was disgusting, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And my family, my dad always liked to do eggnog shakes, which I enjoyed those more because it was more of like a milkshake. It was a milkshake compared to more of like milk is like a thicker milk is almost kind of what I would say traditional eggnog is like. Both have grown on me. I happily take either. I used to look forward to when McDonald's did their eggnog shakes. Mm. I feel like they haven't done that in years at this point, though.
Yeah.
Or at least not any near me. For my family, the quintessential Christmas dessert was fudge.
Oh, yeah.
So much so to the point that, my mom, to me personally, makes amazing fudge. Like, and I've had the opportunity, because you think of fudge, a lot of people immediately go to like Mackinac Island. That's what Mackinac Island is famous for up in like the northern part of Michigan. In my opinion, I think it's because of just a difference of way of making. I would much rather have the homemade fudge, you know, from around Christmas time than I would have like fudge anywhere else in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fudge, you know, you don't really think of fudge being a Christmas dessert, but it is very classic. It's a very classic dessert, and not often made unless you're, you know, in that part of the area, you know, in that part of the United States or the regional area. So that sounds delicious, and I bet she does make really good fudge.
She does. And so I've learned how to make it too. So even this last year I did it and made it for work and for different events and things like that. And I think I've gotten it pretty down pretty well. And I was the one a lot of times who even used to help my mom make it because it is a bit of a process. Usually it can take probably close to an hour to kind of actually get it fully like made. And then you have to put it into the freezer to set.
Yeah.
To me that is... that is the like quintessential one for me. But eggnog is another one that I love, like I mentioned there. Molasses cookies is another one my family makes a lot, and they don't typically just reserve that one for Christmas time, but a lot of times that one is out and kind of available at this time. But the other one, since you mentioned eggnog being controversial, this isn't one my family does, but it is probably the most, in my opinion, controversial Christmas dessert. And something that the college that both of us attended is quite famous for.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on fruitcake?
I have honestly never had it. I don't think I've ever had fruitcake.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't eat it in college because I always thought it was kind of weird. And... you know, it just has that, it has that feel about it that you're like, oh, I don't know if I want to eat that or not.
Yeah, like, just that negative connotation to it that I think a lot of people, I think one that either you hate it or you love it is generally kind of the thought. There's not too much middle ground. Although I'll say the few times I've had it, I'm like, I don't think it was bad. It's never going to be my go-to. I'm never going to waste my money on it personally. But I didn't think it was awful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have never had it. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what it tastes like because I just have never went ahead and been like, I'm going to try it this year. Because we don't normally eat it. and I just never got it at the college or anything. So,
yeah.
But I mean, I'm not like dying to try it either, obviously. So.
Yeah. I would personally say I don't know that you're missing out on much. And again, I'm not saying that in a bad way, but you never know. Maybe one day you'll actually try it and it will be your dessert version of your green bean casserole.
Maybe I'll be like, dang, this is the best thing I've ever had. I want more of it. And then just, you know, order a bunch of fruitcakes.
I mean, the one thing I do know, it is an incredibly dense food.
Oh, I bet. Like,
even a small one, like, just weighs a crap ton.
Well, I mean, it, isn't it made in, like, a bundt form, like a bundt cake, like, way?
Yeah, it is typically done in, I don't think it has typically, like, the little shapes or the hills that, like, you think a bundt cake has, but I do think it is made in a very similar circular type of pan. So, like, there's no middle to it. The middle, it has kind of that empty space, I think, is how it's traditionally made.
Yeah. Now, eggnog, I have tried and I don't like it. But I think that's just a particular kind of palate for that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
If there were 10 people in a room, do you think that it would be split 5-5, 50-50 of people who didn't like it and people who do?
I think it'd be close. I'd almost maybe say 4 like and 6 don't. I could see it being kind of that way. Because I think for a lot of people, it's not even the taste, it's more the texture, because it is this very thick liquid. Like, if you're talking about your traditional eggnog, it's thicker.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of people, that is a texture that a lot of people just aren't necessarily huge fans of, or just, you're not really encountering that in too many other normal foods.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, most of your drinks are, you know, have a very similar consistency in terms of, like, the actual, you know, viscosity of that stuff. But I think eggnog kind of throws people off. And I think that would arguably be a bigger reason. For some people, it probably is kind of the taste.
Yeah.
I could see for some people it's the idea of, and I don't know how true this is necessarily, it's clearly not cooked egg is in there, so it's more or less kind of like raw egg, or we always use egg beaters instead.
Mm-hmm.
But I think even the idea of there potentially essentially being raw egg inside of this too is a very unappealing thing when it comes to eggnog as well too.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. I never thought about that, but other people might have thought about that. I think, mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't asked every person that I know whether they like eggnog or not, but I guess the people who like eggnog have eggnog anytime that they can have eggnog.
Yep.
Like Tim, he really likes eggnog, so he gets it pretty much whenever they, like, if they have Easter eggnog in the store, he gets it. If they have St. Paddy's Day eggnog, he gets it. So I guess I just maybe know certain people that are crazy about eggnog and get it any chance they possibly can. So that makes me think that there are more people in my life that like eggnog that don't. But maybe the majority of the population doesn't. But that can't be true, because why would they sell it then? Well, I mean, I guess that makes sense. I mean, they'd still make money off of it, but...
Yeah.
If they're like, oh, no, 3 out of every 10 people are buying the eggnog, we're not making anything.
Yeah. But it's funny you actually mentioned Tim, good friend of both of ours. I think he was the one who actually had me kind of change my mind on eggnog, because he made it for one of his culinary classes when we were all in school together and brought it back. And I think I can remember distinctly telling him, like, Tim, I got to be honest with you, I did not like eggnog, but I like this. And ever since then, you know, anytime I've had eggnog, I'm like, I actually really like this. And so I think he was the one who really did kind of turn me around on actually liking traditional eggnog, not just like eggnog shakes.
Wow. What do you know? What do you know? He's the one that's getting everybody to like eggnog. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I think it is just a particular taste. I'm not a fan of it. I mean, I think we kind of talked about why people don't like it. But I mean, it is, you know, a very popular drink at Christmas time, even spiking it, stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of people consider it a dessert. You know, Christmas cookies are the go-to. Obviously, make Christmas cookies for Santa. Gingerbread houses, but I feel like you don't really eat the gingerbread houses, you just make it. But do people eat their gingerbread houses?
I have tried, and I just feel like it's not worth it, and I don't know if it's because, you know, I'm not doing it homemade. Like, I always like to go buy a gingerbread house for my wife and her sister to, like, make whenever they're around or something like that. And I mean, it probably makes sense. You have to make it so that, you know, these structures can actually stay and break. But to me, like, the actual, like, I know they're edible.
Yeah.
Or at least they're supposed to be and stuff. But usually it just feels like the actual, like, gingerbread is too hard and too, yeah, even, like, stale would be, you know, probably a pretty good word to use for it.
Yeah.
But even, like, the candies that they pick a lot of times, the gumdrops, they also feel stale when you, like, get them out of the package and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I don't know if maybe that's one that would be better, like, if you tried to do it homemade. But then I feel like that's also harder to actually get, like, the desired shapes that you would want for that as well, too.
Yeah, yeah. One of the last desserts to talk about is, and you know, your opinion on this, and it's maybe not more of a traditional Christmas dessert, but it's popping in my head right now, so I'm going to say it. But peanut brittle.
Mm-hmm.
What's your opinion on that?
Yeah. I like peanut brittle. It is another one that, like you said, I don't know that I would have necessarily pegged that as a Christmas dessert. But I do think it probably is one that certainly comes out far more often around Christmas time than it's just this, you know, random, like, oh, hey, peanut brittle on 4th of July type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoy it, though. I actually had some just the other day, and it was a pretty good one. And in my opinion, I liked it a bit more because peanut brittle can do the one thing that can kind of annoy me where it, like, gets stuck to your teeth and then it's hard to kind of get out. But the one I had recently was actually, like, a really not soft, because then it really wouldn't be brittle, but maybe more of, like, a melt as you're kind of crunching into it and type. So it didn't have, like, that texture of, like, oh, this is going to be stuck in my teeth for, like, 2 hours.
Yeah. Last thing before final thoughts. The best all-around Christmas food that you need to have during Christmas time is the popcorn tin.
We, each and every year, my wife's grandma always gets everyone a popcorn tin. And so, no, that's very true. And again, even for that one, it's like, it's easy. It's probably the healthiest food that you're going to get, because popcorn isn't too much. I mean, granted, it's usually covered in caramel, cheddar, or butter.
Yeah.
But no, that's another one that I'm like, I love it when we get that. And it's, you know, I can down probably half of the tin without even realizing it.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited. I've already told Ariel that I'm getting one. I'm like, I'm getting one of those this year. I'm getting one of them for Christmas. So I'm excited for that. So any last thoughts on any food related items that you didn't get a chance to talk about?
I think the only other one that kind of pops up, and this is one that's become my, like, personal food tradition that I do a lot of, is making wassail.
Ah, yes.
And so wassail, which is a more traditional Christmas type. Mine is close enough that I can do it during the fall as well, too, and just call it a spiced apple cider as well, too, hot apple cider. But that's one I personally love making. Other people, thankfully, love it when I do make it, so I can get my validation out of that. But yeah, you know, that's alongside eggnog, that is the other Christmas, that's the other Christmas beverage that I think of, and that I kind of, like, immediately go to with, you know, having something along that lines that's desserty, beverage, just, you know, a different mode of flavor. That's a stupid saying, I guess you could
mode
say.
Mode of flavor. Hey, we just
mode of flavor.
You just created it. It's gonna be popular now.
This modality.
Did you
it's
like
not
that
food.
Mode of flavor? Did you like it? I mean, I bet there is. I bet there are. Is Wassail alcoholic?
It can be.
It can be.
I have yet to make it alcoholic.
I bet there are many alcoholic drinks that make Christmas and the blends and the mode of flavor. I like that. That's really nice.
Yes.
Very special to a lot of people. I, however, am not I don't drink alcohol. So I've never had it. I preferably like to have a nice glass of sparkling Welch's bubbly.
Yes. And I mean, I do love that too, but for me, that's always been a New Year's beverage.
More of a New Year's thing. Gotcha.
They're close enough, but that's always been like the little wine substitute to be like, oh, like you said, if you don't drink alcohol, yeah, more power to you. I'm rarely ever drink it at this point too. But yeah, that to me, and maybe just the way I grew up, always was more of like the clock struck midnight, everyone toast their cup of sparkling grape juice, and so.
Yeah.
But no, that's something that I love that stuff. I think my father-in-law gets that for me all the time around Christmas because he knows I like it.
Well, I usually have it for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's, so I just like it that much. And then there's the white and the red, and you're like, ooh, I could mix it up a little if I really want to.
Between the two, though, which one would – if you could only white. Take one, what one – really?
Yep.
I would be red.
Really?
Yep. I like them both, but if you said, I think there's enough of a difference that I'm like, I think I prefer the red over the white.
See, I don't think I've had the red in a while. I think this year I'm going to get a red and a white, because I think we usually just get white. But I might get a red this year. Maybe I need a couple of them this year for each one.
Well, you can get them, and you can mix, and you can make a sparkling non-alcoholic rosé.
Hey, that sounds like a good plan. I really need that. That would be good. I'm already seeing them in the store. Well, I've been seeing them in the store, and I'm all like, ooh, I need to get some of that just for fun.
Yeah.
Well, Christmas is the time of year to look back on the year and see all the good times, you know, the year offered to you. It's a time to spend with family and friends. It is all the time to eat good food as well. So don't think about your diet too much. Just go out there, enjoy yourself, eat as much food as you possibly can without getting sick, and just have a good time. But thanks for being on the show, Jed. Really appreciate you once again taking the time to do another Christmas episode with me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know I'm always down for a Christmas episode, and in 1 year's time we'll be talking about Christmas traditions or the origin of Santa or something, certainly Christmas wise.
Oh wow, we've got some plans. We've got a season 5 and a season 6 Christmas episodes idea. So that works for me. I'm all about the Christmas. I'm all about the Christmas episodes. So, but
no, you know I am too.
But no, I hope that you have a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa. And because that's all it's about. That's all about. Just go have a good time with your family and your friends and just eat a lot of food and be merry. I think that's what it's actually said, right? I think it's like be merry or something like that. I don't really know. But but yes, so thank you again for listening, you listeners out there. Shows come out every 2 weeks on Thursday. And guess what? I will see you next year. So thanks for listening. Stay safe out there. And remember, you don't care.